Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the premier podcast, The Attic. The Attic is an urban-based podcast giving you a slightly different view on topics we talk about every day. The cast is composed of co-producer, The Messenger, Baby Sis, Baby Bruh, Nurse Carmen, and we have coming out of Florida, Triple OG. Let's talk.
You can't remain silent. You gotta speak up. They say it's justice. I feel like it's just us. Look, I know y'all tired of talking and going to demonstrations. But if we don't speak up, you help the discrimination. We need a one-on-one before it goes gun on gun. People skip the front page till they see their son on one. And now it's too late to talk. The topic has changed. They shooting at black targets like these cops at a range. Can we talk how many died for the birth of a nation? And how this national anthem ain't worth my ovation? And if I am standing up, I'ma stand up for equality. It's brutality. We need more than that apology. Can we talk about it? Not just artists, but the players too. Y'all on the field, not the mic, but y'all can say it too. We need more Kaepernick and not just with the rapper kicking. We need more than Instagram posts with smart captions. Black actors, stop acting and start action. Current got the credit, forgot about Mark Jackson.
Yo, what about Mark Jackson? We can't forget about Mark Jackson. Hey, good evening. This is Kenny Hodge, co-producer for the podcast, The Attic. I've got all my family with me, and we are ready to podcast. Let me just do a quick mic check, make sure everybody's on board. How we doing tonight, family?
My mic sounds nice.
Good.
You are? Everybody, all right. I got a little, got young MC such and such out there. You know, his mic sound. Where my baby brother at? Where my baby? I ain't doing the show till
I'm here, man.
My baby brother. Oh, okay.
It's just fucking hot and sticky.
It's summertime. What you expect, man?
Yeah, I know that.
But
I know that. I'm just saying.
Oh, you just can't saying
fight
what
the,
it is.
Can't fight the heat, man.
You African, son. That's what we do.
I'm African American.
Huh?
I'm African American, and that American part can't take the heat. That's why I wasn't been good out there in the cotton field.
You got soft on the ride over here?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes, I did. Hey, but listen, I want to start off with a quote that's going to take us right to where we need to be. And that quote is, it's been a minute since I had to say this. Wait, hold on. Let me get it right. Yeah, here we go. Neither snow nor rain, nor heat, not gloom of night stays these carriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. And I'm going to use that opening to segue right into what we're talking about tonight. Something that's near and dear to my heart, on the good side and the bad side.
Hey, Brother Cooper, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Before yes. you get going on your thing, I'd just like to take this time to send my condolences out to the Tyson family for the loss of our beloved brother, Harold Jr. So I just want to make sure we get that in before you get to going on your pulse yourself. All right, bro?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Respect, man. Mad respect to my man Wolf, man. We go back to high school. Yeah, y'all ain't heard that name in a minute. That was Wolf right there.
Right.
Yes.
See?
Yeah. Hey, what was Wednesday? What was Wednesday?
CYO?
No.
I don't know. What was it?
Turtleneck.
Oh, yeah. He used to play the turtleneck. Yeah, he did. He was a light-skinned brother. He had the afro, so it was working for him. Yeah. Yo, but mad love to you. Mad love to you, my brother. I know you hear us, man. I know you do.
Amen. Thank you.
Thoughts and prayers are with the family. Definitely.
Y'all done got me all sentimental. Man, I wanted to go in tonight, but now y'all done got me all sentimental now. Hey, but listen.
Before we get into your subject, I lay a simple question before the House. How come last week, when the Democrats had a convention, There was no podcast. Yeah. Today, the Republicans have a convention, and we have a podcast. Are you telling us something?
Yes, I was watching. I was watching the Democratic convention. This week, I don't give a shit about the Republican convention, so we can podcast. I'm not sure what the problem is. What the problem is?
That one good.
Yes, I did. That's how I did. No, but the real deal is last week we had to put a lot of extra hours in. I put a lot of extra hours in the post office, and by 7 o'clock most nights, co-producer was in the bed. That's 100. All right, but I'm off tomorrow, so I got a little time to exercise some other things. So. That's all that was. But anyway, now that we go.
I would like to say kudos to the Democrats, though. I think they did a very good job with that convention. To say it was the first, one to be done in that way. I think they did a very good job.
Amen.
Obama brought me the chair.
Speak on it. Tell me what happened. Tell me what I missed when I was asleep.
What you missed was Obama's speech. Everything else is BS.
Pretty much.
Well, no, I mean, like I said, that was the first time they did a convention in that way, as far as the traditional way that they've been doing it, which I don't really think they will probably go back to that way again, they got a lot of good feedback from the way they did it, in terms of just the way they did the roll call. I don't know, did anybody get a chance to watch it last week?
Yeah, it was better than everybody fighting for television.
I heard Trump's supposed to be speaking each and every night.
He did already.
He didn't speak yet, I don't think. But he's supposed to. Normally, they speak at the end of the convention.
Yeah,
he's going to speak each and every night. So what he's pretty much doing is having a rally every day.
Political rally. Yeah, he was the convention, the Republicans, usually they have an agenda for the president for the next year. And what the Republicans put out was whatever it is Trump going to do, that's what our agenda is. They didn't put out a formal agenda. It's whatever Trump's going to do.
Absolutely. He owns the party. He owns it.
Whereas the Democrats, to me, they brought a little bit of everything, to theirs, which I thought was refreshing.
Yeah, right.
You got a chance to hear from, from the constituents. A lot of people, had different things. I just thought it was nice. Like I said, did anybody watch it at all? Anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So and then they also had Kamala Harris. She accepted the nomination. She gave a little speech. So I thought it was they had some music, entertainment there. Like I said, they had some people that spoke up in regards to. That lost loved ones due to the virus. I thought that was also, that was very heartfelt to me. There was one young lady in particular who talked about the loss of her father. And like I said, it was very well done.
I have a question. Is Kamala Harris, is she black? What's happening with that?
Indian and Jamaican, yeah. Of course
she's black. She gets to check the box.
And Chinese, yeah. She handling. She covering all barriers, bro.
Yeah, she's multi. Okay. She's multi. She's multi. She covers.
I mean,
yeah.
Quite a few boxes.
I didn't know black was one of them. I knew she had a lot, so I just had to check. And again, it don't make a difference.
Quite a few people are claiming her, but she checks off a few boxes.
It really don't make a difference. But I just, I just needed to know, man. I had to know.
If you want to claim her, check the box. I mean, because quite a few people are claiming her, in terms of what she is. But I'm just proud to see a woman, of color, accepting that position.
Well,
so I was proud to see that.
Go ahead, Messenger. You proud about what, Obama?
I thought Obama did a good job, but I really think Michelle knocked it out the park, though.
Oh, she did, without a doubt. Without a doubt, she did.
Shelly was on point.
Yeah.
That's always. That's always. She's always on point.
It is. She should have been the damn president, but that would have meant Barack got to work hard 8 more years, so we'll forget about that idea. Hey, but listen, I got a lot of feedback coming from somewhere. Can we check that, please? Check this out. When we talk about today's situation, I'm sorry, I was a little distracted. But here we go. Let's talk about my job. That's what I want to talk about. Y'all don't went on about the Democratic convention and all that shit, man. But let's talk about what's near and dear to my heart, that U.S. Postal Service. And I gotta say, it's a whole lot of hanky panky going on, the goings on right now, and I can't understand really why it's got to be that way. Now, I'm gonna make a couple of ground statements to show you my position, and then we're gonna go from there. I don't believe that the current Postmaster General is responsible for half that shit they blaming on him right now. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Now, I also don't believe that the Postmaster General, the moves that he made, I do not believe that those moves are the moves that hurt the post office. Now, let me tell you something, because I was solid in his corner, but I watched a news conference today, and I had to waver a little bit. And what made me waver, again, what he's done so far, I'm sorry, I'm a postal employee. I don't really give a shit if you don't like my view on this. I don't see where what he's done has really hurt the post office. And I work in that every day. I see that there were things that took place before him being nominated that were going to take place. I don't care if Barack Obama was the next PMG. Now, that added to the fact that we're in a pandemic environment, more people are missing work. I think that honestly, just based on what I've seen him do so far, I think that the media definitely did not give him a fair shot, and I think that he was being railroaded. In fact, he was he was being treated just like a black man. You guilty by association. Just because you know Donald Trump, ain't nothing you say or nothing you do is going to be all right with us right now. And again,
but if you have principles, you don't take the damn job. If you have principles, take the job.
But listen, what I'm saying is, do I think that he's definitely going, you know, he don't make no bones about the fact that he's a fundraising Republican. But I'm telling you, man, I don't know what it is about him. And again, I'm not on his bandwagon, but I'm just simply saying, from looking at him testify and watching him today, I got to tell you, man, I'm more convinced that that man is not trying to sabotage the post office, man. I'm sorry. I might be the only person in the world that feels that, but damn it, that's what I feel.
You are.
Maybe not him personally.
And you are the only one. You are the only one, my brother. Go ahead.
Hey, bro, who
he got his marching orders from the White House.
Exactly.
Resigned it. Don't
who
believe what they, if you don't believe what they got you doing, resign. That's principle.
Well, he believes what he's doing, but the thing is, Donald Trump gave him his marching orders the same way he
correct.
Gave Bill
that
Barr
correct.
And the rest
that
of them.
That is correct.
Donald Trump
absolutely.
Goal is to stop those votes from being counted so that he could really mess stuff up and just cause fear. And he's
and chaos. Yep, absolutely.
And with him doing what he's doing, what might be good for the post office, but not at this particular time. Because what
absolutely.
He's doing is feeding into the rhetoric in which Donald Trump is projecting, causing the fear. So he might have good intentions, but as associate of Donald Trump, being placed there by Donald Trump, and he came in, bro, and he got rid of the entire board. Now, the old board might have been a bunch of crap, but when you come in and do stuff like that under Donald Trump, you know what's going on, man.
Of course.
And actually, I question his good intentions, because doesn't he have some kind of investments or something like that, or something to gain from this also by trying to doesn't he have something invested in this as well?
Well, listen, he don't have a lot. He has about, I think, $30-35 million.
Last time I dreamt
that was a lot. But no, he got about 30 some million dollars in UPS stock. But let me tell you something, okay? Anybody who gets a chance to buy UPS stock grabs that. The post office success or failure does not hinder, or I don't think it makes that UPS stock fluctuate one way or the other. Because UPS stock,
right, but the Republicans
money makers
have always
anyway.
Wanted to make they've always wanted to make the post office privatize that.
Yes,
they've always wanted to do that.
Yes,
but see here
and to
here's
me
one of the,
and to me the post office is a service. They're not in business to be revenue.
See,
they're a postal
there
service.
There you go. See, you could tell you old school because you still call them the post office. See, when we first came in, baby sis, that's what it was, the post office. But at some point, they said, wait a minute. We now need you to make a profit. In fact, we need you to be self-sustaining. So one of the things that we're going to do right off the bat is we're not going to call you the post office anymore. You're now the postal service. See, with that name change came a shift in how they thought. But one thing they didn't think about was you got them same employees there. And those employees are used to a certain workflow. So just because you change don't mean everybody changed. So
of course. Then,
but it's in the Constitution. The post, that stuff is written in the Constitution, how the post office is supposed to go. Isn't it in the Constitution?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, it's in there. It's in there how it's important that they deliver their mail. And what one of the
yes.
things
every piece every you, day.
Yeah, what yeah. Uh-huh. To the rural parts, because they know like UPS and FedEx ain't going. And this is why UPS and FedEx depends on the post office, because they're not going to wake up Mississippi. You know, they're not going there. Hey, put this in the post office, and the post office will take it the rest of the way. We're not going all the way out there for one house. We're not going 50 miles out for one house. But the post office is. And just so you know, the post office was set up to fail. When they changed it from post office to postal service and told them that now they got to make money, they set them up.
Yeah.
In order for
you
to make money, they told them the first thing you got to do is you got to secure, if I'm not mistaken, you got to secure like $60 billion or something to cover all the post office pensions and all that stuff before you can even start to get out of the red. And this is why the post office
25 years in advance.
Right, and this is why they're in the situation they're in. No other organization in the government, no other private company, or nothing got to do 25 years in advance.
That's right.
Is why the post office is always in the red, because they can't get from underneath that.
And they never bail them out like the way they do these other corporations and the airlines and all these other and the car industry. They don't be bailing the post office out like that. They don't help them like the way they do those other big companies and industries.
Because technically the government pays the post office. When the post office runs short, the government.
But you can't have it both ways. No. Either you're going to run it like a service, or you're going to do it, or you're looking for it to make a revenue and a profit. Which one
the
is
government,
it?
Wait a minute, hold on. The government don't give the post office any money. Right now.
No, they do not.
Wait a minute.
I mean, he is.
Not counting that bailout. No, they just gave him a bailout. But when the post office is short, they just short. They just lost money that year. The post office.
They're not losing money.
I don't think you're right. I don't think they're losing money. You're right.
Well, that's what the records say. The records say they lost money.
Right. The records say that they are.
Yeah.
That's for politics.
What I'm saying is the record is saying they're losing money because they're figuring in that 25 year thing that they got to do. And that's why it seems as if they're never making the money, because of that. That's what got the post office in a knot.
It, a short sentence, what is this 25-year thing? Enlighten me.
They got to have enough money to cover, what, 25 years of pension and stuff? Is that what it is?
Okay.
Yeah, they got to pre-fund their pension accounts much greater than anybody else is asked to do.
And how did that happen?
Congress.
Republicans.
Part of trying to make it a private company, thinking that they can't do it and they'll fail and find a way to make it privatized.
Which is what the Republicans wanted with them all along. That's what the Republicans wanted to do all along with them, with the
party. That was even before Trump. So I got to say that. That was before
Trump.
But
here's my thing, and this is where I look at it. I look at it as, sure, they want to privatize it. Now, don't get me wrong. I've never said anything contrary to that. But in order to privatize it, how about if we bring it up to speed first? See, and that's where I think the joy was going to come in and get that shit running like it's supposed to, and then sell it. That's just me. Now, again, because you came in with Trump. So just destroying the post office, come on. I don't think that was good media. But I really think that they wanted Louis DeJoy to come in there and get that shit running, because any good manager can fix it, man. And if you work there, you know what the hell I'm talking about. So get it running. Make it a profitable organization that investors would want to invest in. That's the game I see happening.
In the past, when has that ever been, you know, about them making a profit? They've never been about a profit. I'm saying in the past.
Yeah, no.
It was never about a profit for them, because they were more of a service, not a profit.
Yeah,
they weren't in it for a profit.
That's what the base is, a service organization. But I'm saying when they changed their name from the post office to the postal service, they began at that point. Now they want profit. So they give up the fact that we're not just a service organization. We're now a production organization, and that's when they start breathing down people's neck to try to get them to work faster while never giving them an exact standard. You know what I'm saying? So they made a switch middle stream, but they didn't change what they need to change. They didn't change the mindset of the people.
No, because back in the day when you got a job at the post office, that was like you was, you know, that you that was money. You know, that was
still,
overtime,
you know,
that was good
for
money coming.
You guys shouldn't be for privatization, because the first damn thing they're going to do is cut the workforce. You know that.
Well, now, once again, listen,
the day after
I got
privatization,
I have about 4 months and I'm retired, but I try to tell people, listen, if privatization means you're going to have a more efficient. You got to remember now, they employ over 600,000 people. So they got privatization agents going to come in and fire everybody.
You're going to fire
you just not,
yeah, they start, but they start closing down a lot of facilities, though.
Okay, where's that mail going to get worked? You got to remember, when privatization comes in, just like the concept that the Postmaster General is doing right now, first, we're going to take this big ass chunk off the top. And that's what he's doing right now. He's setting this shit up. I'm telling you that I believe he's going to get that post office. If they leave him alone, he's going to get that post office running right. And then we're going to have talks about privatization. And then he's going to say, okay, now I resign.
No, I could go with that. But what I'm saying is, it's all about perception and it's all about timing. And now, so the point that I'm making is the things that he's doing in the long run, it might be fantastic for the post office. But during this time that it's going to take to turn the ship around and get it going, it's right during the pandemic, and it's also right during one of the most important elections of our time. And for him to be playing with that during this time is not the right time. Right after the day after the election, after the, what you call them, do what you got to do. But right now, it's vital that we get these votes in there.
And it's not just only the votes. People's medication, they're not receiving their medication in a timely manner. People are not getting their checks right now. So people are really upset for numerous reasons as to why this mail is slowing down.
And ain't much of this shit going down in blue states?
Now, see, again, that kind of shit needs to be checked. And, again, that would raise a white flag. But let me tell you something, though, man, and I do mean this. And we talked about this in the pre-show. Everybody talking about them damn votes. So I want to ask the cast a question. If Joe Biden, if everybody get their ballots and everybody mail them in, and Joe Biden get more votes than Donald Trump, does that mean Joe Biden is going to be the president?
No.
No, it Thank doesn't you. Mean he's going to be the president.
Thank
but
you.
What it means. But what it what? Means is there are more votes out there, and with there being more votes out there, that means there's a good chance that he can cover the electoral.
Right.
That's
exactly.
all that. No.
Exactly.
That's all that matters.
And
they
just want everybody to vote because they don't want this to be no close race, because if this is close, they know that he's going to come with his shenanigans. And that's what, because he's just trying to sabotage his whole thing anyway.
Hillary beat
There's
the current president by millions of votes, man. So
Come 12 o'clock January the 20th, come hell or high water, he's out. There ain't no he hold over until March the 20th. He's out January the 20th.
I'm going to just ask you to slow your roll on that one, bro, because ain't no telling with that man. Cause
That's all I'm saying.
If he can raise enough doubt over that whole
election as to whether it was legitimate or not, or whether, you know, enough people, if he can get enough people to doubt that it was legitimate, or if it, you know, or whether their votes were really counted.
No. Please don't believe that.
As soon as America realizes that he is no longer the president, all that shit gonna change. Trust me when I tell you that. Right now they're scared of him.
What is it? January 21st, 20th, when they swear in the new president, he loses all kind of powers. That football he got with the nuclear codes, all that shit is voided. It's the new president.
My thing is, y'all losing sight of the fact he's pulled and removed a lot of these mailboxes. He's removed a lot of them, so he's trying to, take away that from people being able to even mail in their ballots. He's removed a lot of those letter sorting machines, so that's going to slow the mail down from being processed.
I told my daughter,
you carry me in there. If you have to carry me into the polls, I ain't voting.
That's what Michelle Obama's message was about. She was saying, I know people want to mail their votes in, but if you have to put on your good, comfortable shoes and pack yourself for dinner and stand in that line, then you do that. That's what Michelle Obama's message was about. You may not be able to mail it in, so be prepared to pack a lunch and stand in that line, no matter how long it is.
Let me tell you something about
the mailboxes.
Because
if you see what they're trying to do with this mail,
stand in line. They can take every mailbox out of the country. That don't stop anybody from mailing mail. You mail in your own mailbox. You don't need that blue mailbox. Don't you understand what I'm saying? When I was a manager, I took mailboxes out. You do these density checks, and if enough mail isn't going in that box, then they pull the box. That's not a new thing. Now, again, we could talk about timing, but I'm willing to bet you that taking the removal of the mailboxes has something that has always gone on. It's just now being publicized in the media. But that ain't
symbolic.
No new shit, man.
Don't you understand? That blue box is a symbol of the service. You missed the box.
Okay.
The box is a symbol.
But you can also put your mail in your own mailbox, and they got to take it.
Absolutely.
When was the last time you put mail in a mailbox?
I don't think I mail everything.
But here's the thing also, too.
Years.
Sometimes here you get mail three different times during one day. Early in the morning, the package might come 8 o'clock in the morning right up until 6, 7 o'clock at night when they deliver the mail.
Messenger. You know why?
I get my life-saving medicines by mail every 3 months.
If you notice, when you get those mail deliveries three times in a day, you probably didn't get mail the day before. Listen to me, what I'm saying to you.
Downtown.
People.
Downtown.
People not. No.
Yeah.
People
sometimes they come. Sometimes they don't.
That is not a new thing, though. That's what
and
I want.
There's always somebody
everybody
different.
To understand. And it's never again because your carrier is out, so they got to split that route up between different people.
Oh, I understand that.
All I'm simply saying is people not getting mail every day, and I'm definitely not trying to sound cavalier because when I was in management, I've been out as late as 9 o'clock at night making sure that mail gets delivered. And if you work for me, you knew that you was going to get all that mail delivered. But all I'm
saying
is—
Most importantly, that guy, he ain't got no experience whatsoever to be in that position. What Donald Trump has done is he's kept searching to get the right people into place that's going to play along with him, and now that he does, he can do what he want to do because they're going to co-sign that shit. You got the, what is that, Attorney General Barr?
Yeah.
He's co-signing and doing whatever Donald Trump wants, and you got the Republicans behind you.
Now, let me tell you what made me waver on the postmaster today, and this is my first time wavering. Let me tell you what made me waver. I was— somebody want to mute their phone, please? I was listening to, again, he up on Capitol Hill, and I found out an interesting fact that now makes me say, I found out that of 100 people who interviewed for this job, they made a cut down to 50. And then naturally, they went down a little further. Now, from what I heard today, was he didn't make the 50 people cut. But for some reason, when the cut got down to 14, his name showed up. Now, again, very suspicious on the way he came into that position. But I still maintain that his job there is to improve the post office so they can sell the post office, not mess up the election. But that made me real suspect, though.
The way he got that job was he was talking and kissing Donald Trump's ass, and Donald Trump was advocating that he get the job.
Absolutely.
That's who gave him the job. That's how you get your job with Donald Trump. You let
him
know.
Check this out.
I'll follow your orders, and you can get
usually,
that job.
Now, usually, I don't know all the time, but usually you don't find a whole lot of billionaires that are ass kissers. I'm just saying. Okay, I mean, so if Donald Trump never spoke to that man again in life, that don't change his bottom line, and we all know that's all it's about in this nation. So you don't find a whole lot of ass-kissing billionaires, and I believe that's what he is.
Well, let me
not
give you
the
ass sidetrack.
The billionaire
sidetrack here. The owner of the Jets, you donated.
No, but what
you
do find is they'll
Donald
do something
Trump,
when it's in it for them.
Now? He's an ambassador to some country, and Trump in England or whatever, and Trump had you ask the people over there about bringing that golf tournament to his country club.
With Tony Montana, first you get the money,
then you get the
power. And that's what they want, the power. And so it ain't even about the money, it's about the power.
Yeah.
He's in charge of the entire postal service. So,
that's
yes,
right.
I'll kiss your ass.
You
ain't got to give me no money, but I've got power now. So
that's
what
it.
It's about. So, yes, they'll kiss
that's
his
it.
Ass. The same way Baby Boy was talking about Woody Johnson. He a billionaire. He owned the Jets. He owned Hess Oil. But he kisses ass for that ambassadorship. And what did the first
absolutely.
Thing Trump say? See if you could get them to have the tournament at my golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they told this guy, don't do it, and he went and did it anyway. Why?
He
because
anyway.
He got the president and the Republicans
told
backing
him. Told
him
not to do it, and he did it anyway. Sure did.
Well, again, I say not fully understanding the postmaster's position. I'm going to say again that when he said no extra trips and no late trips, in that short amount of time, folks, I'm telling you, the post office saved millions of dollars. Now, let me say this to you. And I talk to a lot of city carriers on Facebook, and I'll tell you this. If city carriers aren't getting mail delivered, then, again, that is an issue, man. That's a compliment issue, and that's something that got to be addressed.
But this is the one place where, let's just say, the Republicans, and they want to slash government spending here, but you can go out and give the military – a blank check, and they be telling them sometimes, we don't need all that money. You can use that money for something else. That's just a Republican thing. They want to get rid of that. That's their ideal of slashing government spending.
As a businessman, I can understand the concern about the saving the money, but we all know from the post office existence, it never was about saving money.
That's
it just
right.
Now
that's
it
right.
is.
Only
right.
because that's what the Republicans are trying to make it, and
right.
it's for their own benefit.
Now,
that's why
that.
Never,
but the post office, it was never put in existence to be about money. It was
that's
never about it, that. For,
yeah, but
for,
even
for
under
profit,
the,
for revenue.
The last three or four postmasters we had, that's what they drive, profit. They drive profit. And one might want to ask the question, in all honesty, I mean, you know, if I could, boy, I would love to ask the postmaster who left and gave that opportunity and made that opportunity available, what did they say to you to get you
Hello.
To leave your job?
Hello.
I mean, come on,
Hello.
Man. Let's look
exactly.
at that whole thing, man. You
so
know
I
that
got a question. I mean, I have a question. You walk by a post office, and there may be a half a dozen to a dozen trucks sitting there, nobody in them. Why do they need all those damn trucks?
When you
because
see them trucks
sitting
there. At one
point in time or another, they delivered somewhere. They might just be off or on lunch or their yeah. day is up. The trucks can't be running 24/7. I got my mail done. Okay, now it's time for me to go in the office. So that's one of the reasons why the truck will be there.
In,
plus,
in
plus
midday.
We need.
I go
midday.
By when I used to go to work. I had to drive by one of the main post offices down there, and there's more trucks in there than there's buses on the highway.
Yeah, a lot of those trucks work at night though, doing stuff at night. So you know it's reason for that, and they got extra trucks in case of breakdowns and stuff of that nature. But that part is I can understand you asking that, but that's not the issue at hand. Is why all of a sudden. Now, I hear you, co-producer. They've been wanting to do this for years and years and years, but it was never done. Why was it never done? Because it really isn't about that. About that
but you
money,
gotta
it isn't.
You got to understand
the
this
reason
right it, here, okay? No, uh-huh. you got to understand this. They were taking machines out before DeJoy was sworn in. They had already started taking. This shit didn't just happen as soon as he came in. The post office is like a dinosaur. In order to move one of those big delivery barcode sorters, that takes planning. And again, they have meetings to decide if we're going to have a meeting. So I'm sorry. Nothing is done that quick.
That sounds like government.
And I understand
like
that. But and maybe
yeah,
that
but,
might be the answer. That might be the answer
right.
to your question on why she left.
Well, now, once again, if mail volume, the letter mail, and the machines that they're talking about are the machines that process letters and flats. In fact, they're reducing those and increasing on the package machines. So what they're really doing is trying to enter into a battle with UPS and FedEx.
Exactly.
That's what they're really
yep.
trying to do.
Because that bulk mail.
I mean, even the bulk mail don't pay no money now. Those packages, yeah. that's what's going
to
bring the money.
I meant to say packages.
Box, right?
The packages.
Yeah,
the packages
right.
and boxes.
That's,
stuff
right.
like that.
Letter mail has been declining ever since we heard of this thing called the internet. So, again, it may all be bad timing, but I'm just simply saying, minus the election being right now, putting that that light on it, what that man is doing right now needed to be done.
But that's the but that's the but that and what you're saying is correct, but you can't forget about the most important issue during the election season. Now, if they had started this last year, you probably would
have
heard
been
anything.
Different story.
Right.
But you know what?
The timing.
But everybody's forgetting. Now, once again, I don't know that this information that he said is correct, so I'm going to say that first. I don't know that, but what he's saying is based on every American getting a vote, getting a ballot in the mail, that the post office, with the reduction in that mail processing equipment, is still able to handle that mail volume. That's what people are not understanding. Now, what's
why did he send out the letters to 46 states?
Don't put it back.
He sent,
That's what he said.
Don't put the letter. No, he sent out a letter to them telling them he cannot guarantee all of their votes will be counted, will be caught, distributed
yeah,
in time.
Yeah. I mean,
he
that's
sent
what started,
out the letter
that's what started
to them.
All of this. Exactly.
Right, yes. He sent out a letter to 46 states telling them this.
That wasn't from him.
It was from his board. They ain't doing nothing without him.
Not to mention that he said the stuff that he already done, he's not going to undo that. He's just going to stop what he's doing, but he's not going to undo the stuff he already did.
And well, you know why?
He can't undo it.
Listen, yes, he can. He can put the machines
putting the machines
back in there.
And stuff
but
back,
that, man,
sure listen,
that man is saying, that man is saying that was not a willy-nilly move. I mean, don't get me wrong. He didn't even put that move in play. But when he looked, when he looked at the numbers, he said, you know what? Based on that amount of equipment, even with that one-time big surge from all imbalance, we should still have enough to process that. Now, again, I don't know that to be true, but I'm saying that's what his logic is. And he's saying, if you put me in charge of this company to run this shit, I'm going to run it. And I'm going to show you that I know what I'm talking about. And again, that's how I see the man. Now, if today he made me waver when I found out that he didn't make the actual cut to be even considered for the job. Now the red flag starts going up. Like, what's really going on here? Why was he that? Was he that good that they missed him in the preliminary cuts, but realized, you know, when it got down to the final cuts, that we got to bring him back?
Hey, get you a couple more $1 million.
I'm just saying, that made me start to look at something's not right here.
No, because that whole panel that they put together, that's all Trump boys, too. You do know that, right?
Let me say this. He don't know how to run the country, but one thing he do know is he put people in place to do that shit that he want done, man. That must he do. I got problems
with
the
everybody
justice.
That's on that board, he hand select, he picked them. Those are all his people that he put in place.
Well,
just so you know that.
Okay, but again, thank you whoever had that little beats in the background for me. But again, I say to the outgoing postmaster, why couldn't you just wait till November? Because let me tell you something. The numbers were probably bad when she was here. And this is what we talked about earlier. Every day they have little target goals, overnight, two-day goals, priority goals. Not too often are they making those goals. So the fact that he said, since you ain't making this shit anyway, let's save some money. Does that make them bad? Since you ain't making it anyway, and everybody now thinks that, okay, the post office was knocking them out the park with productivity and all this good shit was going on. And that's not the case, folks. And don't get me wrong. I worked there as a mail handler. And again, I've got 39 years in, 6 more months, I'm done. But I'm saying to people, you got to understand the picture that the media put in your face, that's not a real good and not indicative picture of what actually goes on in the post offices. And if his intention is to mess that job up, then I hope they catch up with him and run him out of town. But as of yet, or as of right now, even when I watched him testify, looking at his facial expressions, now again, he stuttered a lot, because I guess a lot of the shit that they asked him, if he told the truth, he probably would make some people look real stupid. They'd be like, yeah, damn, it's been that fucked up all this time. So his whole demeanor or doing the depositions or whatever the hell you want to call those meetings he had on Capitol Hill further let me know that I don't know what the end game is, and I stand firm on that. But I will say, from what I see, and I don't see a lot, from what I see, the moves that that man put in place as far as no late trips and no extra trips, and let's just stop right there for a minute, benefit the post office, because in time they're going to hire more people to make sure that when we say no late trips or no extra trips, we've got all the mail on that trip. That's what I believe.
Closing remarks, everybody.
I was hearing just the opposite. I was told that he had those trucks leaving, but half of them had no mail on them because he had them leaving. He wanted everything leaving on time, but a lot of the mail wasn't even done being processed. He had those trucks leaving, and they were half full.
When you go to the airport, right, when that plane's supposed to leave at 7:40, if everybody is on that plane, is that what they do? They hold that plane? I'm just saying. When it's time to go,
a lot of planes are delayed, and flights are a lot of planes are delayed. We all been at airports and seen delayed. We don't know what the reasons are. We don't know what the reasons are, but you see a bunch of delays on that board.
They're not delayed because I didn't get there on time. They delayed because the runway is filled or there's bad air.
But my point is they're delayed.
So they've been
holding those trucks up to make sure the mail gets on them. Like you said, that's what they've been doing.
I know that for a fact
because I work there too. They've been holding up them trucks, making sure that mail get on there.
Let me tell you something about holding those trucks up real quick. This is how they saved a couple of million dollars in the short amount of time since he put the word out, no late trucks. If a truck is late, this is going to sound like some stupid shit, but I'm telling you, if a truck is late, they'll cancel that run, which means they just paid that driver for nothing. And then they do an additional run, the same truck with the same driver, so now they're paying twice for that mail. Does that make sense to anybody?
So let me ask you this. So then to send the truck out empty, half empty, or practically nothing on it at all, and still send it out, how's that being efficient? Where's the logic at in that?
If the mail isn't ready, now once again, you got to understand the personnel or the complement is nowhere near where it should be. So right now, they're making decisions based on a full complement of people, and you don't have a full complement of people. So when you hold that truck, what will happen is, and think about this, though. Hold on. If that truck left under what he's putting in place, no late trips, no extra trips, that means that mail is only going to be delayed one day. And I'm not saying that's okay.
No, they show stuff on news where they had piles of mail just sitting up, and it was like days of mail sitting there. I don't know if anybody else saw that on the news, but I did. That's what I saw at some of these facilities.
I would like to visit some of those facilities, and not me personally, but somebody should visit some of those facilities, and let's look at the mail volume you had on hand 2 months ago. Is your facility always like that? Or are you an operating facility, and now all of a sudden you're inundated with mail? See, again, people, you got to look at the whole picture. If you were a piece of shit before this stuff happened, you're still a piece of shit. And I mean as a facility who can't operate properly. You're still that. Now, what you get a little media coverage, and you want to say because of this change. Now, again, if you had a facility that cleared all its mail every day or most days, now you are backlogged like this. Okay, that's worth looking at. But I'd be willing to bet you those facilities that showed you all that mail backed up probably always have mail backed up in there. And that's real. And I'm telling you what I see, me being a postal employee.
I can't speak to that. I just know when I worked at it, we got everything out. Like, if you had to do overtime, it got out that day. Nothing was left behind. And if it took overtime to get it out, that's what we had to do. But nothing was ever left there.
Nothing was ever left. Some post office.
Well, again, when you say closed down, they consolidated. If I got three small plants in an area and two of them aren't getting a lot of mail, well, yeah, I can close two down and make one big plant. I mean,
that's just being efficient.
You had the big post office down there on Ward Street. You had one up on Union Ave, there around the corner from where we used to live, and you had one over here by Fifth Ave, and they closed both of them down. In the mail.
Everybody comes out of one place.
Yeah, well, wouldn't that be causing that? Wouldn't that be like overbearing that one post office now because you're getting in all their business?
Because you, but you bring their people too, so you got more people to work it. So you're not just when you close it down, then people still got to go to work somewhere. So they all just go to the nearest facility to where. Now again, it is an inconvenience when you got to go from a 20-minute commute to an hour and a half commute. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that they don't lose their jobs. They got to go somewhere and work.
I suggested to you, if this thing goes public, they're going to lose half of them people going to lose their job.
Well, I don't think so, man. And again, I might be wrong. I don't know that, you know, I don't speak that confidently on what would or what would not happen. But, you know, you'd have to see. And I think that's the ultimate plan, to run it public. But nobody wants to buy a money losing big ass organization like the post office. You can't sell that.
But it was never made to make money.
Who's got the music?
I don't know. That better be the messenger messing around.
You know, watch it.
That might be messing around.
You know what, Frankie Small told his brother, right? I said, you know what Frankie Small told his brother, right?
Yeah,
right in the middle of the show, bro. I guess you just flex like, fuck it, I'm the oldest brother. I'm gonna play some music. Shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna do what I want to do. I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. Right?
I'm gonna do my fizzle right now. Hey, but listen,
step it on the
line. All right, yeah, I know. But watch this. I know, we'll talk after the show. Hey, but listen.
he said, I'll see you after the show, right?
Said, yeah, I'm gonna have to do you like Boosie Collar, like George Clinton did the Funkadelics, man. But. Wait a minute, hold on.
Hey,
I got
just gonna be producer, right?
Yeah, right. We're gonna drop that cold shit, and I'm gonna hold on to everything. All right. Hey, but wait a minute. Before we go, I gotta go. Did anybody see that special on the Funkadelics?
Yeah.
No.
Or the cartoon one, like?
No, it wasn't no cartoon. It was how. You know, the Funkadelics on the road, they showed what it was like being a Funkadelic and
what
it was for
George
Clinton.
Clinton got up on the table and was dancing by naked.
Do you know he didn't pay them people?
Yeah.
He what?
He didn't pay.
That's why they broke up.
Yeah. Watch this. They say, now again, I'm just recapitulating what I seen on TV. All right? Let's get that straight. They said
I remember
Porter. Yeah, they said George Clinton was moving more heroin and dope in and out this country than anybody. And what he would do with his band is he'd get them niggas hooked on the shit. So when it was come time to pay, George would look at him and tell him, you want product or you want to get paid?
Wow. Okay.
It was
when did
wild,
this come
man.
On?
I don't know. My son had me watch it, man. They was like George. Nobody got paid. It might be Showtime.
The name
one
of
them.
But they be doing like artists and stuff like that. And they did his story. They did a Bootsy one too.
What was the name of it? I have to look it up.
George Clinton, Funkadelics, Brides of Funkenstein, Bootsy Collins. Out of all the niggas, man, George was the only one getting paid. Now he threw Bootsy a little bit at first, but then he started throwing Bootsy packages, man. And you know, when you're moving that kind of dope, you could give everybody in the group a nice package instead of paying them, and you still didn't lose no money.
He sold his royalties too, didn't he, though?
He sold everything.
Yeah, you thought
he
sold
a lot of his music, right?
Apparently, you gave it to a lawyer, like to babysit it for you, so when they came to you, you can act like you didn't have none of this, and the lawyer ended up taking it. So you ain't got no rights to none of that old stuff. That's why you had to change the name to George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars whenever you went on tour.
Well, and you
so
know
pretty
what?
Much,
that's what you get for what you did. Karma, man. I know his band members.
Said
like,
he went to some university for a trial thing. They gave him a hit of acid. And he ain't come down, I think, until like Atomic Dog. That's when he finally burnt out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hey, but listen, this is co-producer on the podcast, The Addict. We hope you've enjoyed the entertaining podcast tonight. And again, don't you leave this show thinking co-producer is anything other than a diehard Democrat. All right? Don't you leave this show thinking I support anything. I ain't no goddamn Republican. No, I'm not. No,
I
hell no.
I thought it was a legitimate question. That's
no. No, no, hell no. No. Like I said, listen, I'd vote for Kanye West before I vote for the current president.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's clear that up. Let's clear that shit up.
Now
right?
You're doing their work. That's what they want you to do, to take votes away from Joe.
Okay. That's all right. No, listen, Kanye ain't even running no more, man. All right? Yeah, Kanye said he going
to
go back.
That was all a joke anyway.
He wasn't even running in the beginning.
Yeah, he probably wanted to drop a new album, but he didn't finish in time, and the game got cold. That's all. But I ain't mad at him because he understand how to make money.
Well, I'm mad at him.
Well, I mean, as an artist, he let me down.
I'm disappointed. That's what I am. I'm disappointed. That's what I am. I'm disappointed with him.
I think everybody in that music industry sells their soul. They just hope they can make enough money to buy it back. No shit. I mean.
Yeah, but the rebuy is always more expensive than what you really
Yeah. Hey, but listen, that's this podcast, The Addict. I really do thank you for hanging out with us tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you make Monday night a part of your podcast library. Let's say goodnight, Cass.
Goodnight, Cass.
Goodnight, everybody.
Peace.
Somebody.
Peace.
Somebody always got to say
that. I'll say goodnight, Cass.
Peace out.
I was with you.
All right, cool. I heard messages, too. Later, y'all.